Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Meseches Mila Daf Gimel. Perhaps because of its smallness and size, we'll just merge together. We'll combine Daf Gimel, which leads straight into Daf Dalet, same topic of discussion, all the way over to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, so let's just refresh ourselves. We had a discussion of machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef in the following instance. Actually, so it's the first case now, Mishnah, according to Rashi, the first case is where the starting point of the carbon went awry. So he did it in the wrong location. It's kachay kadoshim, like an oila, which is meant to be shechted, and whose blood is meant to be collected in the tzafayin, in the north side of the Azorah. Instead, he did a bedore. So, the starting point was done inappropriately. According to Tosis, was speaking specifically about the Shechita. Okay, let's just focus on the Shechita. Shechita B'dar. What's the status of the carbon? Of course, it's pasul. The question, however, will be, does it have some element of Kedushas HaKrava? Is it considered as though it did experience some element of Hakrav experience to the extent that if it's already on the Mizbech, typically we know that carbon materials which are found on the Mizbech is like a magnet, it absorbs materials even if they happen to be unfit. In most cases, it absorbs them, which means to say it gets enveloped into the Mizbech environment and stays there. We learn it from a pasuk back in Maseches Vachim. What about this material, this Kachi Kedoshim, that was started off with Dorin? Shall we say, look, it's like it just died on you. There was no Hakrova element that it experienced. That's Rava's opinion, in which case he says, in our Torah, there isn't even any Me'ila. The Me'ila expires. Because, as we learned yesterday, Me'ila only pertains to something which has Kachi Hashem identity. As opposed, let's just recap, as opposed if it's fully processed properly, so a carbon which had the four elements of Akrava done to it, the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Hoylach, and the Zrika, applying the Baruch Mizbeach, was done properly, as a culmination of the Akrava system, it's called Nasas Mitzvasoi, and the Kodesh Hashem status expires because it's now fit for Kohanim, it has Shas Hetel Kohanim, although it's, of course it's Kodesh. If you eat it, you have a mitzvah of eating Karbanis, but the Me'ila element is no longer there, except if it's a carbon oila, in which case it has to be burnt on the Mizbeach until it becomes ashes, Mila is still active. But typically, until the successful Zrika happens, there's Mila, past which there is not. On the other hand, we spoke about an animal that just, a carbon that just dies on you. Of course, there's no Mila, it has no value whatsoever. It didn't have a krava, it doesn't have any value, it can't be paided, you bury it, so it has no Mila. But here we have something in between. It didn't actually die, it had something done to it. Something which is reminiscent of a hakrova. In fact, we learned yesterday, even Shechita B'darim, as bad as it is, it's not fitting for this particular carbon, but you can do Shechita B'darim on other carbonates like Kachin Kalam, Shlamim, etc. So do we say that it did sort of enter the process, it did embark on the hakrova track, in which case, since it's midway in that track, it still has Me'ila, like any other carbon, or according to Rabbah, no, it's like it died. Shechita B'darim is a non-starter. And in that case, it has no carbon value whatsoever. It's pasul, there's no me'ilu, and atayr olim derabbanan. Now, what about him? Although, that's the focal point here. If it's on the Mizbeach already, Rabbah says, yeah, just take it off. Rav Yosef says, no. He says, it had a shechita. It wasn't the Azora when it was shechta. It was the wrong side. It still was in the confines of the Mechitzas Azora. It still relates to a Hakrava experience. In which case, sure, it's possible. But it does relate to the Hakrava process. It's not just died. It experienced some Hakrava element. So it's considered like a carbon. although it's a carbon pasul, but still has carbon identity, carbon status, and Me'ila is still active. Okay, so bottom line, Kach Goshim Sheshachtam B'Dorim, what happens in Olu? Rabbi says, Olu Yeredu. Rabbi Yosef says, Olu Lo Yeredu Eisvei Ve'Akasha, 9 lines from the top on Gimel Med Aleph. Rabbi Yosef asked the question to Rabbi, and it was a build-up question. It was based on 3 Mishnayos chaining into each other to lead to the conclusion, which actually ends up being a refutation of Rabbi's Shita, that even something which was started off in the wrong place, here we talk about birds, which have malika instead of shchita, clipping off the from the back of the neck. So it happened in the wrong location. We learn in the Mishnayos, it still has sufficient level of kedusha to render it fit for the mizbeach if it's up there already. Likewise, in our case, im alu lo yerdu, it's going to be a kasha on rabba. Eisvir, eisvir, rabba chada megoy chada. It's one mishnah extracted from the other chada megoy chada, and that one extracted from the third one. So basically, it's a build up to prove his point. First mishnah says v'chulon. We're talking about bird karbanos. So we have the oilas ha'oif. We have the chatos bird, chatos ha'oif, which have to be processed in different places on the mizbeach. Some are done on top, some have the malika on the bottom, like the chatos ha'oif on bottom, the oilas ha'oif on top. They're mitzoy, the hazod, the application of blood. Again, it depends what you are. If it's a chatos, it's down. If it's an oil, if it's on the upper half of the wall of mizbeach. Now let's say he switched locations. So definitely disqualifies the bird, but it's considered like a bird that just died on you. We know that a bird, a kosher bird that's an avela, is metame, not by way of direct, you know, transfer, but if you eat it while you're swallowing it, you become tame, severely tame. So what about these so-called dead birds, which had malika but was improperly done? So an improperly applied malika, does that render the bird an avela to the extent that it's metame? If it had a proper malika, of course it's not matami. That malika is in lieu of shchita. It's machsha the bird, machsha the carbon. But if it's done improperly, the chulam says the mishnah, no, although it was not done appropriately, but don't consider it like a nevela. Ain matam and begadim. It's not going to be matam your clothing, basically, when you swallow it, umayal and behem, there is me'ila, because it's kaddish. And, you know, since the process was not fully completed, so even if it's a chatas, it will not lose its me'ila status. We don't consider it like it just died, there is me'ila. Except for a chatas that was processed properly. In which case, like we said before, it becomes permissible, green-lighted for the kehanim to eat, and loses the me'ila status. Chutz mechatas oif, a chatas bersh, asal amatika masay chatas oif, which was processed on the bottom half of the mizbeach, the way you meant to do a chatas, l'shem chatas, for the sake of chatas, so it's a successful hakrava, then the mila expires. Okay, what we want to extract from this mishnah, which is mishnah number 1 of 3 on our developing akasha here, is that even a malika psula does not render it like an avela. It's not a tamim vesablia. We have the next mishnah, which gives us a label, categorizes it. Ketoni Eliyah, we have a mishnah on this, which explains this, so it's the mishnah following afterwards, which says, Kol shahaya psula b'kodesh, what's the rule? The process on the bird was aborted. It was possible. Is it going to be matami? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. How do we categorize it? Which is basically now organizing and sort of putting in context the previous mishnah. This is the rule. Kol shahaya psuli b'kodesh. If the psul happened b'kodesh, Rashi learns that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosis learns that it's a psul which technically can work in a different carbon. In any case, it's a psul which sort of relates to the hakrava process. It's not just a random psul that happened prior to arriving to Beis HaMikdash, like was missing a wing or something. That makes it possible unrelated to the hakrava. But if the psuli was b'kodesh, such as the malika that happened in the wrong location, in that case, it's not just a dead bird. It's a korban, which is possible. It's not going to be metame But if it's a psul which precedes the akrava process, whether in location or in concept, metame begadim b'sabliya, in that case, it's like a bird that died, it's metame begadim. What do we see from here? If in the previous Mishnah we see that malika in the wrong location is not metame, apparently it's labeled as psulei b'kodesh, as per the formula in the second Mishnah. It comes the third Mishnah, which says those items which are psulei b'kodesh, which we now learn applies to a malika on the wrong location, im alo, if they were put on the mizbech, they don't come down, they get absorbed into the mizbech environment. Uktani, we have another Mishnah then, which says kol shei psulei b'kodesh, any time the disqualification is called psulei b'kodesh, such as malika in wrong location, im alo, once they're on the mizbech lo yerdu, they don't come down. And in a parallel situation, by a kachuk adashim animal, the shechita was done b'darayim, we assume likewise it's called psulei b'kodesh. If it's up, it stays up. That's a kasha on Rabbah who says bring it down. It's like it died. It's like an, no, here we see that it has kedusha. It did. It's considered like it experienced the akrava process to some extent, and it belongs on a mizbech. It's considered mizbech material. Tiyuvta the Rabbah, tiyuvta, that's a reputation on Rabbah. Now, v'hod pligi wa Rabbah Rav Yosef. This point of discussion with Rabbah and Rav Yosef. What to do? What happens when you have a carbon that was nishchat in the wrong place? If it's on the mizbeach, does it stay? Does it come down? So it was point of dispute for them. Point of discussion for Rabbah and Rav Yosef was clear. Pshita l'li Rav Elazar. To him, it wasn't a question. He knew the answer. Damar Rav Elazar. Why? Because Rav Elazar poses a similar question, which seems to have been based on a solidified position regarding our discussion today. So he asked a more advanced question. So you have an oila at a time in our history when they had private altars, b'masiach, in your backyard, together with a public bama in specific locations like Noiv, Givoin. So you had a choice. You can be magdish your carbon for your private bama or for the public bama. It has different rules. Very similar in terms of kedusha, but it has certain rules that only applies to bama tzibur, one of which is tzafayin, the requirement to process it in the tzafayin. So let's say it's oilas bama siyachet. It was an oila designated for your own private bama. You brought it into the confines, into the partitions of the public bama, the public, you know, mishkan. Does it get upgraded? Or does it keep its former status, which does not require all the additional requirements of the Bama Tzibur? Rashi says, Tznufa, Hagasha, Reach Nechayach, all kinds of halachis. Kayin, Klisharis, all these are specific to Bama Tzibur. Do they now apply to this one or not? Says Rabbi Elazar, yep, he's all in. Rashi says, it's as though it was initially meant for the Bama Tzibur. He gets an upgrade, which includes Shechita B'Tzafen. Now, let's say he did not conform to the new rules, to the new standards. He did it B'Darim. So we know Kol Tumah Mechitzas Kol Davar. He's supposed to, but he didn't. Let's say he was unaware. He thought it still has its old former status, which does not need tzafen. Boy, Rabbi Elazar, now you had a question. Oilas ba masiachat shechnisa shenifsala. He brought it in, and he didn't do it properly. He did it in the darayim, and it's on the mizbeach, which is rings very similar to our discussion until now. A carbon that was nishchat in darayim, it's on the mizbeach. Olo mal sheyerdu, if it's up, what about bringing it down? Does it belong up there? Do you bring it down? On the one hand, it needs tzafayin. On the other hand, this is not really its natural environment. It wasn't intended for the Bama Tzibur, which requires tzafayin. So how possible it is? I mean, it needs tzafayin, otherwise it's possible, that's a given. But to the extent that take it off the Mizbeach, or shall we say, look, it's not as terrible as a regular carbon that was on Bedarim, because it needed it by its very nature. Here it's not really a natural requirement, it's sort of an added requirement which came later. So there's room to speculate both ways. We're going to see in a minute what the factors are. But bottom line, the fact that he's focusing his question on this unique, unusual case of an imported oila, consequences of doing bedarim regarding olam al shi'er, the fact that he's posing the question specifically on this case, which is unique, mechlaul, the apparently regarding the basic question of a regular carbon that was done b'tzafayin, it was clear to him, one way or the other, ikarava, either like Rabbah, that you remove it from the Mizbeach, or like Reza, you leave it on the Mizbeach. Well, according to Rashi, who says not necessarily so? Maybe it was a double question. It was a question built on the other. Maybe we'll go like Rabbah, that in the standard case, a regular carbon that was meant for the Beis HaMikdash, it was done by Dorim, you take it off the Mizbeach, Ad kan l'koma Rabbah Hasan, imol yerda, perhaps only Rabbah only applies that point to a standard carbon. If it's up, take it down. When the Beis HaMikdash, the Azorah, and consequently the Tzofen requirement, is its natural requirement. It's its natural confine, natural mechitzes. It was intended for those mechitzes. Mechitza kitikna. Kitikna means it's its natural intended mechitza. Pasulos, in that case, is done wrongly. It's pasul to the extent that it's removed from the Mizbeach. But in our case, where these mechitzes aren't, this particular carbon's natural mechitzes, it was meant for your backyard. Shalai kitikna loy pasul, perhaps doesn't have that severe effect. So even if we go like Rava in the standard, it's still going to be a question in our case. Alternatively, we can go with Rav Yosef's position. So even according to him, the Omer also Leiterit, who says that in a standard case, an oil that was shechted b'dar, if it's on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come off. Let's say we assume that position, you can still consider this to be different. Mechitza ketitma kolta, perhaps only a mechitza which was intended for this carbon. Kolta, it can grab it, it can absorb it. If it's on the Mizbeach, it stays there. It's its natural environment. But when it's not really its naturally intended mechitza, such as in this case, the Bamas Tzibor, it's not really part of the initial programming of the carbon, so perhaps it can't have the same absorption effect to leave it on the Mizbeach once there. No, it's removed, take it, so we leave it on the result. So basically, sure, Blaza asked a more advanced question, but perhaps it was based on a more basic the question, which perhaps he wasn't really sure of, because his question could be posed piggyback on Rabba's position and Rashi's position as well. Whichever way you hold on the basic, you can still ask the same on the more advanced. Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Here comes a new sugya. So we already know from the Mishnah that you kachi kachim. That's like example, like a chatos. Mila applies until the Hakrava process is finished, until it goes through the four primary steps of Hakrava, which is Shechita, slaughtering the animals, Kabbalah, collecting the blood and the Kli, Halacha, transporting it to the Mizbeach, and Zrika, applying it on the Mizbeach itself. That's the full process, after which there's no Mila, because it's now available for the Kehanim to eat. And the Kachi Hashem status, which indicates exclusivity to Hashem, that expires. So although Haskush has karma, the Mi'il element is no longer there. We also learned that if the carbon did undergo the process, which ended up being Pasul, the Mi'il still hangs in there, based on the same principle that it's not Mutil Kehanim. But what about a Pigal process? Pigal is unique. So it's where the Kayim had a machshav, had an intention to process the carbon, to feed it to the Mizbeach, to do the Zriko, or the Haktorah, to eat the Kayim. at the wrong time. The wrong time, a week later. So if he had that intention consistently throughout all four steps, without any other interfering, you know, impediments, halachic impediments, that makes it a full-fledged pigul, meaning he didn't have any other plans of chutzlim kaima or shlagashim, that renders it pigul to the extent that if one eats the material of that carbon after the zrikas pigul, he's liable to karis, as we learned in the previous masecht. Now the Gemara, Tosfos explained, the Gemara's Zvachim tells us that pigul isn't just a negative. It's very negative, but it's sort of a positive negative. It's you develop, you manufacture pigul. Pigul has its specific requirements. It's not just the carbon that went awry. That's a carbon puzzle. That's one thing, but pigul is a very specific product, so to speak. In fact, we find the Lashon Haratzah by pigul. Lo Yeratzah will not be received by Hashem. We find the Lashon reception, which rings like a successful carbon, which it isn't, of course, but it's similar to Haratzah's kosher, to a properly processed carbon, which will be eaten properly. Here, it's going to process it in a way where if it's now eaten, there's karis. So it's sort of producing an edible product, an edible in a negative sense, that if it's eaten, there's karis. So basically, pigul isn't just an absence of kashrus. Pigul is a status. It's a carbon processed in a very specific manner, which renders it pigul. Okay. Having said that, so now we can speculate. What happens if it's a pigul process? So you did the avoidus tilus rika. So you finished the akrova, but in a pigul fashion. What happens to me'ila? Shall we say, well, it's possible me'ila's still there? Or shall we say, no, the akrova process has been completed. We have now processed this carbon. So although it's usher to eat and it's possible, but the me'ila expires. Could you finish the akrova? Says Rav Gidlo Marav, no. Pigul cannot affect, remove the meal in any way. Conversely, you have by Kachem Kalam, where there is no meal until the akrov is finished, because at that point the emur and the fats get designated for the mizbeach. Now meal gets activated. So by the completion of the Yakrava, by the Yizrika, the meal gets activated. Likewise, if it's a pigul process, meal will not be activated. Meal cannot activate or deactivate meal. Amar Rida Marav, Zrika, pigul, eino imaitim the meal, will not deactivate the meal, bekachim kadoshim. And likewise, vein emavi, or the meal bekachim kalam, will not activate the meal bekachim kalam. We view it like a failed Hakrava, and it cannot have any effect on the meal status. One way or the other. Yosef Abaye. Abaye was sitting. Gamal Hashmaite was saying over this halacha. Yisra Papar. Papa asked Abaye. Really? So pigul cannot generate any me'ila? Hashaycha desa toida lufnim. So we shift to carbon toida, which has breads, right? So he did the yishchita while the carbon was in the Beis HaMikdash properly, but the breads weren't alongside it, which are meant to be alongside it to get kedusha from the through the shechita of the carbon. It wasn't there. The bread was outside the wall. The bread did not become kaddish. Likewise, we did the shechita before the breads had crusted in the oven, so it's not yet considered bread status. If they all, even if they all crusted except for one chutz machas men, lo yikidesh alechem, so it will not be mekadosh the bread. Oh, now what about pigul? Shachta chutz lezman v'chutz l'mkayma. He shechted with the intention of pigul. Kidesh alechem. So in this case, yeah, kadosh alechem. The lechem becomes kadosh. Says Tosfos. We can parallel from here. We can extrapolate that a pigul process can endow Kedusha, can activate halachis. Likewise, in our case, it can activate the Me'ilah. So just like in this case, it gives Kedusha Saguf to the breads, despite being a pigle process. Likewise, in our case, Alma, pigle, maisla de Me'ilah. Apparently, pigle can generate Me'ilah. On your kachim kala, so kashim Rav Gidlon Rav says Me'ilah is a non-entity when it comes to Me'ilah. Ishtik, he didn't have an answer. He also came to Rabbi Abba, and came to Rabbi Abba, and he presented the story. Amalei, he says, I have a simple answer. Bizrika. Big difference. Rav Gidlon Rav is talking that he finished the whole four-step process, including this Rika, in a pigle manner. Well, that's not effective. But here by the breads, he didn't get to the Zrika of pigle. He just did the Shechita. Okay, at that point, it's not pigle yet, because only if you finish the process in a pigle mindset, as we explained before, it's a very specific process. You have to finish it with a pigle mindset. Here, he didn't get to that point. So since he did not culminate the pigle process, it's not really pigle yet. And therefore, you can understand that this shechita, despite having pigle elements to it, will be mekadesh the breads. Amalei Rav Ashila Rava, really? So until you get to the Zrika, it's not regarded as a pigle experience? And that explains why the Shechita, pigle, can be mekadesh the breads. But Amar Ula, we have a quote from Ula which indicates that even before you finish the four-step process, pigle is already present. Kaimetz pigle, shehel gabim mizbeach. He talks about a mincha now. So he did the kmitza, he scooped out the handful of the material, and while doing so, he had a machshava of pigle and put it on the mizbeach. Shehel gabim mizbeach, poka bigulim mimenu. So although the kmitza was labeled as pigle, but once it starts burning on the mizbeach, the pigle status disappears. And the reason is because once it turns into mizbeach material, it sort of neutralizes that pigle element within it. I'm going to see in a minute, we have another part to this quote, which is the reason for this. He says, look, if the aktara of the pigle, right, of the kaimetz of pigle, worried to have a machshavas pigle in the aktara, it would render the whole mincha pigle, the shirayim, the leftovers, would be now considered shirayim of pigle. So we see that a haktara, a placement and burning of the kaimetz pigle on the mizbeach, has validity, has status, considered akrava, to the extent that it could affect the whole mincha, make it pigle. So certainly regarding itself, it's considered haktara, and since it's valued as a haktara experience, the kmitza loses its pigle status, it's considered mizbeach material, and loses that, it neutralizes that pigle status. Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. In any case, what do we see from here? That he's calling it pigle, just by way of the act of kmitza, which is really one of four steps of akrava, which parallel the four steps of a karban. Just like by a karban we have four steps, by the mincha we have four steps as well. We have the kmitza, which is the separation. It's like the shkita of a karban, which separates the blood from the animal. Here it's separating this scoop from the rest, and we have the rest of the steps until the haktara, which is like zrika. Ukmitza hainu shkita. Kmitza is only tantamount to the first step, which is shkita, and still we're calling it pigle. You're telling me pigle only gets activated at the end of the fourth step process. Amalei, he says, we don't technically mean it's already pigle, which only happens at the end of the process. Isura means that it has that isur quality, the maisle pigle. It's the initiation of the isur slash pigle process, which of course can only be completed upon the completion of the fourth step process. So kmitza begins the process. Amalei Yisur, it's an Isur de Maisi, which can develop Ude Pigel if and when he completes all four steps with that mindset. But of course, technically, there's no Pigel yet. Likewise, by the Shechita of the Toide, there's no Pigel yet activated until way, way later. At this point, it's still premature, and therefore, the Shechita can activate Dush on the Breads. Valktani, we turn to the next stomach. Really, there's no Pigel on this Pigel. But in his own words, in Ula's own words, where he explains this halacha, He seems to indicate that it already has pickle status. The Ula himself concludes his halacha by explaining himself. I'll tell you the rationale, the basis of my halacha. How do I know that haktara of a kaimetz pickle will neutralize the pickle elements within it? Very simple. Imacherim mevil de pickle, hu atzmei lekolshkei. If this kaimetz pickle, which is placed on the mizbeach, the haktara of that kaimetz can generate pickle on others. Well, the others, Rashi explains, the shirayim, the leftovers, the material of the mincha, which he is representing. So, suppose he were to conclude the whole process in a pickle mindset, including the haktara. What happens then? The entire mincha becomes pickle, evidently. An act of haktara on a kaimetz which is already pickle is still regarded as haktara, has haktara value to it. And that's why it's considered a conclusion of the process, which activates a full-blown pigul on the entire mincha. Who adds for the koshkin? Would you think that the haktara on this pigul material, on this kaimetz pigul, can benefit itself, for itself, meaning it's considered haktara regarding the kaimetz itself as well? In which case it would neutralize the pigul element within it because it's considered mizbeach material. Now, the fact that Ula drew this parallel, it's the biggest indication that he is regarding the kaimetz as already having an element of pigul within it. Because as Taisis explains, if it only comes later, then the whole logic falls apart. What's he saying? He's saying if the haktara on something which is already pigul can affect the rest, certainly could affect itself. Now if the pigul only arrives through the haktara as opposed to before the haktara, then the whole argument seems to fall apart. Because you're not being mocked or something which was already pigul. So that confirms that in fact he considers it already pigul. Hence, the logic that follows. Again, the logic is, if by taking something which already has a pigul element and placing it on the mizbeach, that haktara is considered valid to the extent that it can do things. It can. If he has that pigul machshava during that haktara can actually affect the whole mincha. It's considered a conclusion of the mincha hakrava process. Certainly, it can benefit itself. It's considered an haktara that will neutralize the pigul element within itself, which preceded that haktara. So clearly, he's indicating there's a degree of pigul. There's an element of pigul within this kaimetz that precedes the haktara. How? Evidently, the kaimetz itself makes it pigul. No, he doesn't mean that there's a full-blown pigul. There's a certain degree of pigul, a start of pigul. Hanami, here too, he meant isur. There's an isur element of maisi, which can theoretically come to, can generate, can develop with a pigul if, in fact, he completes all four steps, including the haktara, with a pigul mindset. And likewise by the karban. A complete pigul only happens through zrika, which is a completion of the four-step process. But merely the shechita, like the shechita of the title of Shem pigul, that's not technically pigul. And that explains why it could do things. It could make Kedusha happen on the bread. Okay, now another kash on Rav Gid Lamarav, who teaches us that the pigul process, the complete pigul process, despite manufacturing some sort of element of edibility in the carbon, albeit a negative one, don't think it can have any effect on the meila status of that carbon, whether by kachim kedushim to deactivate the meila or by kachim kalam to activate the Me'ila element. Avakasha, on that second point. Really? Pigul cannot activate Me'ila on Kachim Kalam? Amalei Ravina Ravashi, I have a question. Amar Ilfa teaches us back in Zvachim. So, as explained, pigul will only happen if that was the exclusive mindset But let's say he mixed in other plants, aside from chutz l'zmanai, the wrong time in mind, he also had chutz l'mkayma in mind, I'm going to do it in a different place. That interferes with the fecal process from developing. But this is machlekes. Let's say he had machshava of zman, which is pigal, before machshavas of makom. Rabbi says, the machshava of zman, which is pigal, gets established and preempts any other machshavis. So machshavas of makom does not interfere with the fecal developing into pigal. Chacham say no. In fact, is he had other issues there that disrupts the pigal process from happening. Now we're talking within the same avoida, or in two separate avoidas. One was done l'shem pigal, one was done l'shem chuslim kaimai. Vamar Ulfa explains machlokes b'shtei avoidas. When does Rabbi say that if the machshava pigal was first to get established and preempts any interference, machlokes b'shtei avoidas, that's one of two separate steps. Kegoin, the amar, for instance, in the shchita itself, we can split it into two. There are two simanim, right? The windpipe and the food pipe, and he said like this: the first siman, he shechet chusas mani, which is pigal. Second, chusam kaimai. So the pigal has already established itself because it was separate, distinct. But if it's on the same step, all agree it's a mixed up machshava, and the pigal hasn't had the opportunity to establish itself, so they cancel each other out. There's no pigal. What do you see from here? If we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the machshava of pigal that he had during that one siman activates the pigal process, apparently it is really considered pigal, because if it's just sort of developing in the pigal and not really considered full-fledged pigal, then who cares that he was first? The fact is, before he got a chance to really get activated, you know, the pigal, he came in with another mashal, who's coming that interferes. So what do we see? That the shame pigal, the pigal status, is already there from the get-go, even before he completes the full akrova, even before he gets to the zrik. That's a kasha on Rav Gidlom HaRav, who says, a kasha on what we said before, that the pigal only gets really activated at the very end. Says the Gemara Chinami, well, here as well, he has to wait until the zrik, but the chizarek tigla milsa, lema freya. Sure, at this point it's still potential, still pending. But when he gets to the Zrika, when he gets to the finish line, Tigla Muslim Afrei gets revealed retroactively. Which one got established? Which one got activated? So true, it starts by the Shechita. But it needs to wait until it's fully complete, until the Zrika happens, for it to be activated retroactively. Read the whole, since he had that in mind first, that gets established and knocks out the other machshav. Iba avoida achas, ibish de avoidas, what we're speaking, it's within the same avoida, both thoughts, or in two different avoidas, depending on different ways of understanding the machlokes there. So truthfully, full-blown pigul only happens upon completion of the process. So then, back to the question of the toida. He had the Meshchita with pigal in mind. So we sort of allay the concern of pigal because it's not yet activated until the zrika. So at this point it's still benign. What do you mean? But then when the zrika happens, ad zorik. So retroactively, we're going to discover that pigal was already there from the Shechita. Right? If we say this retroactive formula over here, we say it there too. So back to the question, how could that Shechita's pigal be mekadesh the bread if it's a Shechita of pigal? True, it's not active yet, but later on it will be activated retroactively. Says the Gemara, you're right. Whatever it meant, a Shechita of pigal can be mekadesh the bread in a positive sense. My Kodesh. When we said Kodesh, the bread lipasal, the Baisrefa, in a negative sense. It makes it Kodesh to the extent that it's Kachim Sum, has to be burnt. But it's not going to give it full Kedusha. And likewise, regarding Me'ilah, it's not going to have the full effect regarding activating or deactivating Me'ilah as well. Leibim say, perhaps we can support Rav Gidl's concept from a Braisa. Rav Gidl says that Zrikas Pigel cannot have any say regarding Me'ilah, not regarding deactivating Me'ilah on Kachim Kalim, or activating Me'ilah regarding Kachim Kachim. We have a Braisa. Leibim say, Pigel, Oilam Alamboy. If it's Pigel, Me'ilah is going to stay on. Not going to expire. Lav Ahogav, that is Rigdan. Apparently speaking, even after the Zrika. But if it's a Zrika's Pigel, it will not deactivate the Me'ilah. That's a Raya, Umasael, it's a Raya to Rav Gidl. Lord, Lord, Zarek Dam, Hadam. No, we're talking, there was no Zrika done. Well, if there's no Zrika, then obviously there's Pigel. Either way, Zarek Hadam, if you hadn't done the Zrika, my man, why even discuss this? At Loilum to Zarek. So clearly there was Zrika. But it's not going to support Rav Gidl. True. It says that Azrika of Pigel will not remove the Me'ilah. But we're talking about an Oila whose Me'ilah is ever present. We're talking about an Oila. We're talking about an Oila. Obviously, the Gavaya. The Gavaya is cool. It's completely meant for the Mizbech. Of course, it's Me'ilah. Why even discuss that? Even a regular, conventional, Kashra Oila that had no Pigel issues. The Me'ilah stays on all the time. So why even discuss that? We're trying to make this void. But furthermore, the Tani is safe. Look at the second part of the Braisa, which will prove to us that we're not talking about an oil, we're talking about a regular kachim kachim like a chatas. Landama. Let's say the blood, instead of being processed properly, it was left overnight, became pasul. Even if you went ahead and did zrika with that blood, Mila's still there. Why? Because it was an improper zrika. And the Gemara is drawing a parallel, assuming that Ezrika's Pigel will have similar non-effect. So this works very well if we're talking about a chatas. And the point of Bryce is, even though typically by a chatas, Ezrika does deactivate Me'ilah, but not in this case, where it was Ezrika Psula. Eli Amos Bo'ilah, but if we're talking about Me'ilah, why even discuss it? Of course it's Me'ilah. Until the very end. You're right, you have a point. Seifa, part B of the Braisa, Vadai, Miseali, certainly. Is a Raya to Rav Gidl Marav. We see that an improper Zrika, done with blood that had been left overnight, doesn't work. And assumingly, a Zrika Spiegel doesn't either work to remove the meal. Reishamai. But regarding the Raya from the first part of the Braisa, is that really a proof to Rav Gidl? Shall we say Hoyel, Neima Hoyel Mesele Seifa, since the second part of the Braisa supports him, Mesele Nami Reisha, the Reisha will also support him? That evidently we're talking about a Chatas, which typically loses its Me'ilah upon Zrika, but since it's Zrika's Pigla will not vacate the Me'ilah, it's a right of Gidl. Says the Gemara, well, actually, Seifa, Vadim Eseele? Some learn that it's Akasha. Hold it. Is it really a Raya even from the Seifa? I'm not so sure anymore. True, it says that the Zrika on the blood that had left overnight doesn't deactivate Me'ilah. But maybe Pigel is different. It says more, why? What's the difference? Maishna, why would there be any difference? Sure, it's a writer of Gidl. Improper Zrika doesn't work. Well, it's not so simple. You can draw a line between the two cases, halona de kav to be a daim, in the case of the braisa, where it was left overnight. So he sort of actively made it possible, he sort of neglected it, let it stay overnight. With mana zrika, perhaps in that case, there's a penalty with the rabbanon that the zrika will not benefit the karmel, forgive me the mila to vacate the mila. But machshava, but in the case of Pigel, of Gidl's case, it was just a machshava. So relative to lina, it's just a sort of like a passive type of infraction. The loy kav to be a daim, which wasn't done actively, it wasn't an active interference. So perhaps in that case, the Chum will not going to penalize him. And Mahani Le Zrika, the Zrika perhaps can work to remove the mila. So we thought we had a raya, which didn't really pan out. Who Masayele, perhaps from the next price. Ha, Masayele will be a writer of Gidol. On both accounts. Again, Gidol teaches us that the Zrika of Pigal cannot A, activate Mila on Kachim Kalam, and B, deactivate Mila from Kachim Kachim. Ha, Pigal be Kachim Alam Boy. So the carbon went through a Pigal process. Mila is still there. Let's assume, even if the full process was completed, but since it was Pigal, it doesn't deactivate the Mila. Lava Fagab, let's assume, even though the Zarek did Zrika. But Zrika's Pigal does not. Deactivate the Pigal. It's a writer of Gittel who says likewise. Loid Lezark, now we're talking before Zrika. Really? Allah Zarak Mai, but let's say he proceeded with the Zrika. You mean to say there's no Pigal, even though it was Pigal? If that's the case, am I Tani Sefer? You know, the Braisa was looking for a contrast. Braisa was looking to present a case where Mila gets deactivated. And in doing so, the Braisa had to look for a different type of case, switch tracks, the Kachim Kalim. I'm not going to say, but why does the Brice have to continue? Bekachim kalim, ein moyalan boy. So if it was a pigal process applied to kachim kalim, don't think it will activate the meila. So why do we have to go to kachim kalim to find the case where there's no meila? Lift like bereisha could have split the reisha itself, meaning by kachim kadashim. But listen, it teaches like this. It depends when. Pigal process? Well, if ne is rikum moyalan boy. So if it's still before the Zrika, Mila's still there, right? Mila only gets vacated upon completion of the whole process. Lachas Zrika in Malam, but after Zrika, Mila gets vacated despite being Pigal. If in fact it's true, why didn't the Braisa just focus on Kachi Kachim and find that distinction? How about the Masele? You have a point. The second part of the Braisa is clearly in support of Gittel. It clearly says that a Pigal process will not activate Mila on Kachim Kalim, which is a second pointer of Gidl, right? So that's pretty clear. But regarding the first question, Zrika's Pigal on Kachim Kachim, does it deactivate the Pigal? That's not clear. Lema, perhaps you can suggest, Hoyle Mase'ele Seifa, Mase'ele Nami Reisha, just as we have a proof to Rav Gidl's second point from the Seifa of the Braisa. Likewise, you have to support his first point from the first part of the Braisa, from the fact that the Braisa did not teach that the Zrikas Pigal Kachim Kachim vacates the Mila. Is that an indication that in fact it doesn't? Says the word, it's not so simple. Maybe really it would vacate the Mila, unlike Rav Gidl. The reason why the Braisa skipped over the Kachim Kalim, because it's a more clear-cut halacha. Kachim Kalim Sikale. And that's why Braisa chose to use the Kachim Kalim as an example for this halacha. That the Pigal process will never endow it with Mila. Hachali Psikale, regarding Kachim Kalim, wasn't a clear-cut topic because, as Taisus explains, although in a typical situation, perhaps Zrikas Pigal will deactivate the Mila, say, by a chatas, by an osham, but, you know, in some instances, Mila never leaves the carbon. We have an example of Kachim Kalim, where the Mila stays throughout, like an oila. So it's not such a clear-cut case to speak of, so you wanted to sort of shy away and speak about something clear-cut, straightforward, and that's why he cited the case of Kachim Kalim, to bring out the halacha, that a Zrikas Pigal will, in fact, end up with a non-Mila situation. But again, who's to say that by Kachim Kachim, Zrikas Pigal can't remove the Mila? Perhaps it could. Unlike Rav Gidl. So bottom line, Rav Gidl teaches us 2 points about Zrikas Pigal. Number one, it cannot deactivate the Mila off the Kachim Kadashim. Number two, it cannot activate Mila on Kachim Kalim. We have a riot to item number two, and not to item number one. Tesis asks, look, how do we differentiate? If Zrikas Pigal is valueless in terms of Mi'ilo, so how could it work for one thing and not for the other? So he says, look, regarding the first item, we can we can understand that pigel does achieve a certain element of edibility. As we explained before, it's considered a matter on the carbon, albeit in a negative sense. And therefore, we can understand how that zrika will be considered the completion of the process, and the mila will expire. Whereas when it comes to kachim kalim, where you have to activate mila through the zrika, we never find that this type of zrika's pigel has that ability to be mevarer chelik avoya, to designate what belongs to the mizbeach, the fats, the chalavim. We don't find that it has the ability to do that, to elevate it to that status, in which case, in that sense, we do agree with Rav Gidol. Okay, just for a quick summary, we began with the Machlokes Rabbah and Rav Yosef, Kachi Kadashim that was shecht in the wrong place in the Azara, in Durham instead of Tzafin. It's certainly possible. Now, what about him? Although it's already on the Mizbeach, Rabbah says Yerdu, Rav Yosef says Lo Yerdu, brought a riot to Rav Yosef, which was a tuf to the Rabbah. On top of that, Rav Lazar has another question. Similar case, you have an oila which is meant for a private bum, which does not have the tzafen requirement that was imported into the bama's tzibor, and now would need tzafen, but it wasn't. It was done in bedarim. Shall we say im olu yeridu or olu lo yeridu? And the Gemara links it with the machlekes Rabban Rav Yosef. So whichever position you assume on that, this will be an additional element of question. Whether or not you say Elo Yerdu, and we left that as Teiko. Okay, Rav Gidol and Rav teaches us 2 points regarding Zrikas Pigel. It cannot have any say in the matter regarding the Mi'ila. It cannot remove the Mi'ila from Kachim Kadashim, nor can it activate on Kachim Kalim. You have to write the Kachim Kalim piece, but not to the other point. Okay, pick up tomorrow. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.